for a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk.
Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
That's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
You just have to see it to believe it. Best-selling author L.A. Marzulli just returned from a top-secret trip to Peru, where he returned with color photographs and physical evidence of an ancient race of hybrid giants, many standing over 10 feet tall. Marzulli crawled through the jungles of Peru, exploring hidden caves and private museums. He photographed the skulls and the skeletons, returning with a book that will change your worldview. On the Trail of the Nephilim is his explosive new book, chock full of 120 color photographs of the gigantic skulls and the skeletons and the megalithic monuments these giants built. The companion DVD, Watchers 6, documents Marzulli's trip, exposing the massive cover-up for all to see. The book is $29.95. The DVD is $19.95. Get them both for $39.95, a $10 discount. I guarantee you, you've never seen anything quite like this before. A picture is worth a thousand words. Go to lamarzulli.net to order now. lamarzulli.net. That's www.lamarzulli.net.
A reporter is plunged into the dark world of money laundering and the worldwide crime network when he stumbles across a scam so big that his life is on the line. Now the true story can finally be told. An investigation that will take you across the globe to England, Eastern Europe, Australia, Panama, Africa, and New Zealand. How an international network of money launderers got away with more than $100 million stolen from the Christian community. Exposing the Ponzi Masters is the true account of one man determined to expose the truth and the legions that tried to stop him. A story so dark that you won't believe what you are reading. A story so important it's being monitored by government agencies worldwide. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, a true crime expose from James L. Paris, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, available on Kindle from Amazon.com.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be in the world. My name is Jim Paris, and you're listening to Jim Paris Live, and we are live tonight. We pre-recorded our program last week to accommodate our guest, Nick Tate, author of the Obamacare Survival Guide. Excellent book, by the way. If you didn't catch that show, you can get that on replay by going over to jimparisradio.com, or you can just go to christianmoney.com, click on the podcast button from the menu, and it'll take you to a link where you can grab that and any of our past shows. No cost for that, by the way. A lot of programs do charge you to access their archives, not here at Jim Paris Live. Well, what a crazy period I'm going through right now in my life. I got, after taking a break from the martial arts for like 11 or 12 years, I decided to start training again last year. So it's been a year and let's say 7 or 8 months. Well, a few months ago, the people that own the martial arts school that I go to, they decided that I was starting to look ready to test for my second degree black belt. And I wasn't really sure about that because I'm not very focused on getting the next belt. But here I am. This week I have to take my pretest for the second degree black belt on Friday night. That's a 3 to 4 hour situation. So I'm looking down the road to Friday having to face that. I'm also right in the middle of finishing another book. Bob Yetman and I are collaborating on a new book about the John F. Kennedy assassination. And that book is due in the next week and a half or so. So a lot of things happening right now. And it doesn't make life any easier that it's daylight savings time. I don't know about you, but when even just that 1 hour of change – it messes me up big time. This morning I was up too early, and now I feel like I want to go to bed already. And I've got to do a radio show here. So, yeah, I should have put some coffee on. That's something I should have done before the program. But we have a great program lined up for you tonight. I've got a few things I want to go over. We'll bring our guest on at about 15 or 20 minutes past. Her name is Carlene Sinclair Robinson, and she's got some great materials, a couple of books out on how to raise money to start or expand your business. And when I had a daily radio show, we used to bring somebody on almost once a month to talk about this, because there are so many people, they want to get out of the rat race, they want to start a business, but they just don't have the capital. And yeah, there are some businesses you could start without a lot of money, but you know, if you want to get into maybe starting a small restaurant, starting a hair salon, maybe you want to start some kind of a service business, a printing shop, you need money. And what I love about the materials that Carlene Sinclair Robinson has is that they're all about untraditional sources of money to start or expand a business. So if you're somebody listening tonight and you've thought, man, I'd love to start a business, but I can't get a business loan from a bank. I've tried. I've been there, done that. I can't get one. If that's you, don't miss tonight's show, because we're going to have some really interesting things. We're going to talk about such things as like how to get family and friends maybe involved to help you fund the business. There's a way, for example, that you can have people loan money from their IRA accounts to you to help expand or start a business. Something fairly new now called crowdfunding. So all this is going to be a very, very interesting discussion, and we'll start that at about 15 or 20 minutes past the hour when we bring small business financing expert Carlene Sinclair Robinson with us live on the program. Okay, Tuesday night, I'm going to be doing something a little bit different, and it's something I know that's going to get a huge response. I meant to get the email out on this today, but I didn't do it. The email is going to go out on this tomorrow. I'm going to be doing a special live video broadcast on Tuesday night on Bitcoin and the Mark of the Beast. And I'm doing this because, you know, a lot of you know I love the idea of Bitcoin. I recently taught a three-week class on Bitcoin, a three-part workshop on Bitcoin back in the spring. We had a huge response to that. And now Bitcoin is back up again over $200. So we're starting to get a resurgence of interest in Bitcoin. But one of the questions that comes up a lot is Bitcoin, could it be the mark of the beast? Or could Bitcoin be something sort of a prototype, if you will, for the mark of the beast? And actually, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, on Tuesday night, I'm going to be talking about this, and I'm going to be talking about why Bitcoin may, in fact, be a way to thwart the mark of the beast. So you don't want to miss that. And the only way you can get invited to the Tuesday night live video broadcast is if you are on my email list, or if you're following me over at Facebook. I'll put the invitation on my Facebook page as well. You can find me on Facebook, James L. Paris. Unlike the bigwigs, I just have a personal Facebook page, and I allow people to friend me. And that's how I do it. I know I've got a couple of fan pages, as they're called, or business pages as well. But just go ahead and join me on Facebook, or just go to christianmoney.com, add your name to the email list, and you'll get invited to this. Very interesting. And I'm going to have a lot of fun doing this on Tuesday night. Okay, now I want to get into something that's going to really twist your brain a little bit further. The Iraqi dinar. And I have been getting hit for 2 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, from Christians trying to, quote-unquote, enlighten me about investing in the Iraqi dinar. And I have agreed to take another look at this. And somebody sent me a YouTube video to watch, and I watched it over the weekend, and look, I'm not suggesting that I'm going to be convinced that anybody should take thousands and thousands of dollars and put it into Iraqi currency. But just like I look at Bitcoin and say, hey, what would it hurt to put a few hundred bucks in Bitcoin. Maybe I'm going to be persuaded. Putting a little bit of money in Iraqi currency can't hurt. And who knows, maybe there's some potential for something to happen. There's something exciting to happen. But I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. I will tell you this, that I did buy some Iraqi dinar over the weekend. I actually bought some, put some of my own money into it. I didn't put a lot in. I ordered it online, and I'm going to be getting it this week, probably using it more as a prop, to be honest with you. So in a week or so, maybe in a couple weeks when I do a video broadcast talking about the Iraqi dinar, I'm going to have my Iraqi dinar to hold up to the camera. But yeah, I did buy some over the weekend. So interesting, some interesting things happening. You know, some of you are probably listening saying, we finally got them. We finally got them to take a look at the Iraqi dinar. And we wrote an article, Bob Yetman and I, sort of bashing the whole idea of putting any money in this. But I have taken another look at it, and I've got some new thoughts on it, and I'll be getting to that in an upcoming live workshop, probably sometime within the next 2 weeks for sure. As I mentioned, the JFK book is coming, and we just approved the cover for this. This is going to be another ebook, just like the Exposing the Ponzi Masters ebook that just came out. This one is also going to be released exclusively as an ebook, and let me tell you how cool this is. This ebook will be released on November 22nd, which is the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. And I'm really, really enjoying the process of writing this book. I'll tell you this, I don't consider myself a conspiracy buff. You know, I'm like anybody else. I find conspiracies interesting, but I'm not someone that lays awake at night reading conspiracy books. That's just not me. But there's so much that interests me about the John F. Kennedy era, you know, just the early 1960s. I was born in 1965, so this all happened before I was born. So maybe that's part of why it interests me, but there's so much about that period of time when Kennedy was president, the assassination, all of that, that it's just so fascinating. And, man, if you did not realize what a cottage industry the JFK assassination is, I went down to my library here in Palm Coast, Florida, and we're not a big city, so we have a I'll be fair, I'll be nice and say, we have a moderately sized library, let me just put it that way. And I went in there, and I was shocked at how many shelves of books that they have on the JFK assassination in what is a fairly, you know, small town library. You know, this is an interesting book because what we're going to be getting into is we're going to be exploring the question, did the Federal Reserve have anything to do with the assassination of JFK? And this is all going back to an executive order that JFK signed. The executive order is 11110. So there are four ones and then a zero. That's the number of the executive order that he signed, which allowed the government, separately from the Federal Reserve, to print its own money separately from the Federal Reserve. And if you remember this, if you're anybody that's done a little bit of coin collecting or currency collecting, there used to be something called a silver certificate currency. I'm most familiar with the $1, but I believe there was also a $5. And these were this was money printed by the government that was separate from the Federal Reserve, and it was money backed by silver. Something a lot of people don't know about, an assassination theory that is sparsely discussed. If you type it on the internet, JFK assassination, Federal Reserve, you'll find a little bit out there, but not very much. And Bob Yetman and I, we're not saying, hey, we have the smoking gun, we know who was behind the JFK assassination, but we are putting together what is going to be a very fascinating book sharing the history of the Federal Reserve and sort of the power structure that they represent and how that power structure was threatened by Kennedy's signing of this executive order allowing the government to create currency separately, you know, and aside from the Federal Reserve. Very, very interesting. It's going to be a lot of history in there. We've got some really neat pictures in there of the early days of the Kennedy administration, even going back a really neat picture of JFK as a young man just becoming an officer in the Navy. So lots of cool stuff in there, and that book will be coming out soon. If you're on Social Security, hold on. You're going to be shocked by this. The government is giving you a $19 a month raise, and that will start next year. This comes out to about a 1.5% increase for most people. Now, this is supposed to be tied to inflation. I don't know about you, but when I go to the grocery store, I mean, it is now so expensive just for basic things like meat. I was talking to my wife. We had a nice roast today, and the reason we did is earlier this week, I was able to find a buy one, get one free roast down at the grocery store. We don't buy a lot of meat anymore. We buy mostly frozen chicken breasts, and we buy them in a big bag, so the price is pretty low. But on occasion, if I get a buy one, get one free. But my point is this. If you're buying gas, if you're buying groceries, I mean, pretty much everything is going up at way more than 1.5%. But I know what the government's facing. The reality is Social Security is going broke. It's actuarially insolvent. So they've got to do something to try to, you know, keep the thing going as long as possible, and that means you're not going to get much more money next year, $19 a month more. So you're going to have to think about where you're going to spend that. I think you can get yourself maybe a large pizza and an order of wings on a Friday night once a month with your extra $19. Twitter is going public this week, and this has been anticipated for a long time because what we had with Facebook, of course, Facebook went public and everybody said, Facebook, I've got to buy stock in Facebook. And what turned out to be the case is people bought stock and it crashed. And it's gone back up again. I mean, we're now back up in the $50+ range per share. The IPO for Facebook was like, I think, $35 or $38 a share. But there was a long time where those that got in supposedly that were so blessed to get in on the IPO price of around, you know, mid-30s, $38, something like that, they were sitting with stock down around $20 a share and lost almost half their money. So everything I'm reading this weekend is all about, you know, Twitter is going public. You can buy stock in Twitter this week. Now, if you're not on the preferred client list of the big brokerage firms, you're not going to get the new issue of stock. But once it starts trading, you can buy the stock in the secondary market like everybody else. But my advice is this, just like with Facebook, I would wait. I mean, even though they're saying Twitter has learned all the lessons of Facebook, they're not going to put it out at too high of a price so that it crashes. I don't know. I'm a lot more skeptical of Twitter than I am of Facebook. I think Facebook at least has some kind of a money-making business model. I don't know about Twitter. I mean, Twitter has never turned a profit, as far as I know. I mean, they're a private company, so we don't have, you know, their whole financial history, but they're burning cash from everything we can tell. They're not a profitable business. And I don't know. I like Twitter. I use it for marketing. I just scratch my head and say, how are they going to make money? And in order to make money as a shareholder, you know, the corporation's got to have a profit. But, you know, they're huge. So, and we're talking right now, the year 2013, they go public. And maybe I'm an old man, you know, and it's the year 2033, and I'm in my 70s, and I'm telling my great-grandkids, I could have bought Twitter back in 2013, and, you know, now it's worth, you know, $1,000 a share, and I could have bought it for 10 bucks or something like that. Who knows? That's what is so hard to judge with these internet companies. You just don't know. Are they going to be even around in a year? Are they going to be out of business? Or am I going to regret that I didn't buy stock? But I think it's at least worthwhile watching what happens this week and maybe giving it a few weeks just to kind of settle down a little bit and see where it's ultimately going to trade at. All right, we're going to welcome our guest now. I've been talking way too long, and we've got our guest holding. Her name is Carlene Sinclair Robinson, and she has a background in business management, home health care, and financing. And Carlene spent several years working with small business owners and witnessed their inability to access capital through traditional banks. And as people I know that are in business tell me, look, the only time the bank's going to give you money and if you're in business is when you can prove to them you don't need it. That sounds funny, but it is true. And over all the years that I've been in business, I've never gotten a bank loan, never tried to get one, never really needed one. I've always kind of, you know, worked things out, you know, in other ways, whether it was my own capital or there was a period of time where we had raised capital through offering stock in some of our businesses. But we're going to get into all of this tonight. So if you're listening and maybe you have a question about raising money to start a business or grow a business, we're going to open it up for phone calls here in just a couple of minutes. But let me go ahead and welcome my guest to the program. Her first time on Jim Paris Live, Carlene Sinclair Robinson. Good to have you with us. Wait a minute. There we go.
I really appreciate it.
All right. Now we have you. All right. And where are you at tonight? You're up in Virginia. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I'm in Alexandria, Virginia. Outside of D.C.
Good to have you with us. Now, you've got a couple of books out that I know of, and correct me if there are more than this, The Small Business Owner's Guide to Alternative Financing, and then another book called Spank the Bank. So are those the two books, or are there more than that?
Yes, those are the two. The first one, though, is The Small Business Owner's Guide to Alternative Funding. So just to clarify, not financing, but funding.
Okay, to alternative funding.
Funding, right.
Right. Now, in this economy, and you really can't blame banks because of, you know, everything we've been through with the mortgage bubble and all the foreclosures, and all we hear about now is how bad off the banks are, and they're consolidating and going through mergers, and we're seeing more and more of them being taken over by the FDIC. So banks are, you know, with good reason being careful. Other than going to the bank to get a loan, what would you say is the number one alternative for people?
Okay, that's a great question. Number one alternative, it always depends on the client, the customer, the person looking for the loan. It could be crowdfunding right now. It's the big hot button word that's out there. Crowdfunding, it's in the Jobs Act, the Small Business Jobs Act. That's the big one. However, there are others that, again, you know, customers are unique. So those who are looking for money, what are they looking for, and what type of business are they in? So it's kind of, I would put crowdfunding out there, but I would not say it is the number one out the gate, quite honestly.
Now, is crowdfunding, is that officially available now? That is... for people that don't know what we're talking about here, this is where you actually go to a website and you can put out on the website your business plan and your financials and your financial projections and all that. And it's sort of like a new way that people can raise, I think it's what, up to $1 million now. And you can do this over the internet without all of the red tape and lawyers and expense that it used to take to raise capital. Is that right, and is that available now?
Yes, it is. You're right in a sense. Here's the thing. If someone is trying to raise just money for their business to expand, to start a business without giving something in return, if they're looking for it as an investment, that's where they have to monitor what the SEC is doing. However, here's the other part to it, and this is why it's so big, where they're raising more than $1 million right now. You have a product, an idea, a concept, you have a prototype of something, and you want to bring it to market. And I, you know, in my workshops, classes, I say to folks, look, if you have something and you have that type of, you know, you can do a video on it and potentially bring it to market because you feel there is a market for it, here's where you could test and see if there is a market. And people can pre-order, whereby you're then giving, let's say, you know, if I give you $5, you're going to send me a handwritten card and give me a shout-out on social media. If I give you $200, you're going to give me that.
Okay, so you're talking about like the Kickstarter kinds of...
Kickstarter, Right, Indiegogo, those sites. There are sites that folks can raise funds based on you're giving something in return. Folks must get something for the money that they put in. On the other side, what the big hot-button topic is about is where it was written in the Jobs Act to help the small business market gain or raise capital to help their business, that instead of trying to go to a venture capital firm, you know, in terms of raising funds, they're going to be able to use this. And the SEC, you know, it's kind of like, you know, after the horse has gone through the gate to fix the kind of issues that we have, what happened was they did the Jobs Act, they put it in the Jobs Act, but they didn't write the rules and regulations to govern the crowdfunding concept where small businesses can then raise without officially giving, here is something in return immediately for the funds that you're putting in. They can then wait till the business, you know, gone through the growth stage, the process, so developing and stuff like that. So it's a big fire, you know, hot button topic. It's going on.
So you're saying that's not quite available yet, the idea of being able to sell stock in your company on the internet?
Right. They've released certain rules right now.
Right.
And quite honestly, that's more geared to helping investors versus the small businesses themselves. So they have to monitor and see which site would be best suited. Not every site is going to be appropriate to the business that is looking to raise funds. Again, double check, make sure they get with someone that, you know, truly knows what's going on and read those rules and regulations before they jump out there and start trying to raise funds, because you definitely
get into a lot of trouble violating the securities laws.
Right.
And we exposed the scam earlier this year. This was an all out scam, but it was targeted at Christians, and they were having Christians make loans to what turned out to be a sham company overseas.
Exactly.
Now a lot of these people are facing civil charges, maybe criminal charges at some point.
Right.
Because when you raise money like this, and it's investment money, you just can't do that without knowing what the rules are. And the good thing about this crowdfunding law, I've read it, I think it's going to be a good thing, because it will allow a small business owner that maybe wants to raise $500,000 to start a restaurant, it will give them a way to do that, and it'll give them an opportunity to, you know, raise that money if they follow the rules without having any regulatory risk. And it also gives a new opportunity for people to invest. You know, some people don't want to invest in a company that trades on the New York Stock Exchange. They'd rather own a percentage of a small family restaurant in the town they live in, or maybe part of a printing shop or something like that. And this type
That goes into the concept of, you know, buying small, shopping small businesses. So why not invest in the small business that you're going on the corner to buy from? I mean, that's what we really should be doing, and that would definitely help the market. Oh, let me give you some information right off the top right now. For the SEC, on their website right now, on the 23rd, they've given out the proposed rules and regulations. And for those who are following me on Twitter, I will tweet that out sometime tonight into tomorrow.
What is the Twitter address?
It's Karlene. That's KARLENEINROB.
Okay, so it's Karlene, SINROB.
Karlene, correct.
Sinrob, which is the abbreviation for your last name, Sinclair Robinson. And what I'll do is this. I think Faith is listening, one of our producers out in the other room. Faith, go ahead and log into my Twitter account and find Carlene's Twitter account and put a link to it on my Twitter feed, because people know how to get there, and that will help them to find you over at James L. Paris, which is my Twitter account. So we'll have Faith or producer Joy take care of that. Let's open it up for some phone calls tonight. And we've got so much to get into, so many different ways of getting money to grow your business or start a business, so-called alternative funding sources. And if you've got a question tonight on this topic, we're going to open up the lines. The number is toll-free, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. And we have one open line right now. We've got one person holding, 888-287-3316. We're also taking questions by email. A lot of our listeners are listening over their computers, so we also take them by email, Carlene. It's jim@christianmoney.com if you want to send your question in over email, jim@christianmoney.com. We have one caller that's been holding already from earlier, and we're going to open up that line and say hello to Joanne. And Joanne is in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And Joanne, you have a question, I understand, about grants. And you're talking to Carlene Sinclair Robinson. Hello there.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I have a quick question. Hi. I'll just ask my question and just listen to the answer off the phone. Are there any government grants for businesses, the kind where you don't have to pay the money back?
Okay, good question.
Okay,
and you know that guy with all the question marks on his suit, Matthew Lesko, and then the other guy, Kevin Trudeau, that there's supposedly millions of dollars out there, Carlene, that you can get for government grants that you never have to pay back. How much of that is true, if any of it?
As far as I'm concerned, there's none. That's literally, folks... I am, like, wanting to scream right now. Folks, listen, please, please, please. If you're in business for profit, don't look for government grants. Government grants are for community redevelopment, research, you name it. If you are a for-profit business, don't go looking for grants. If you are in business doing non-profit or not-for-profit, you have the opportunity of going for grants, not in the market of you being a for-profit business. Okay?
Or the truth is it might be as difficult as getting on the Obamacare website if you could apply.
I would say worse, Jim, quite honestly, worse than not. It is number one.
And you hear about the scams, though, like all these workshops where – these guys have these infomercials, come on out to the workshop and we'll show you how to get government money that you never repay. And then they have these testimonials, I started a bakery and the government gave me $1 million because I'm Hispanic or I'm a minority or I'm a woman that started a business, so the government gave me all the money. And maybe some rare example, maybe it happened, but I'm with you. It's not something you need to really be planning on. It's probably like winning the lottery. If you were able to get that money.
So here's what I always say to folks. You're in business, and you see where there is an opportunity to help your community, and you want to give back to your community. Then you create a nonprofit, and then you go for the grant. That's through the nonprofit option, not as a for-profit business. Look, there are loans. There are other alternative ways to access capital for your business. But really and truly, grants are for nonprofit organizations.
Now, we've got an email here. This person is emailing us from Chicago, and they want to know about Small Business Administration loans. And I know you have a chapter 6 in your book, Spank the Bank, where you talk about SBA. What's the status of that these days? Is the SBA still doing the loan guarantees and all of that that they've done in the past?
Yes, the SBA is still guaranteeing loans, and I'm glad you said that because what we find is folks thinking that the SBA is a lender, and I always say to folks, look, do you want to have to work with Congress every time you need to get a loan? If you do, then go right ahead thinking that they are. They're not a lender. They guarantee the loans that the banks are not completely comfortable with funding on their own with you as a part of the funding mix. So, yes, the SBA is still doing them. Of course, if you don't qualify, the bank won't put you through to an SBA option, all right? If you can't qualify for it, if the bank's saying, you know, an SBA option is what they would consider for you, then go for it, great, if that's the best thing for you.
All right, good information, and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to put you on hold, Carlene, because we have a break here. This is about 4.5 minutes, so you can stretch your legs, get a cup of coffee. And when we come back, we're going to talk about micro loans. We're going to talk about, can someone loan you money from their IRA account to help you to fund a business? That's a question somebody's emailing me on right now. Getting money from family and friends, something called peer-to-peer lending. If you've got a question about small business financing, you want to start a business, you want to expand a business, you can call us right now. We'll put you on the line. We have two lines open, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in about 4.5 minutes. Stand by. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. Recently, I did an event in Chicago unveiling a brand new service called Christian Money Plus. It's been years in the making, and I'm super excited to let you know that it is now available. At the centerpiece of this new program is the ability for you to have unlimited access to me personally using the internet. You'll also receive my 12-page newsletter mailed to your home each and every month. Now, there are tons of other benefits, such as our suite of financial calculators, model portfolios, and much, much more. Right now, I'm offering several bonuses to our new subscribers. Some of these bonuses include a video on how to use the internet to raise money for your idea or project. This is money you will never have to pay back. There's also a second video on how to save money by dropping cable TV, and I also cover on this video how to get free home phone service for life. Yes, you can drop cable TV and still get hundreds of channels on your television set legally using the internet. All of that, including how to get the free home phone service for life, all of that on your second bonus video. Additional bonus reports include how to opt out of Obamacare, as I did, and save thousands by joining what's called Christian Medical Sharing. Another bonus report shows you step by step how to stop Google from spying on you. All of this information is available right now to subscribers of our brand new service, Christian Money Plus. I sure hope you'll consider joining us. All of the money that comes in every month from Christian Money Plus goes to further the mission of our website, ChristianMoney.com. Check it out today. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. Again, that's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. You can subscribe right now and access all of these bonus reports within a matter of just a few seconds. Check it out right now. That's ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to pray for a financial miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, how to pray for a financial miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. You know, about a year ago, I started getting concerned about the cost of our family's health insurance, literally costing us thousands and thousands of dollars each year, and the cost continued to go up and up and up. And I started doing some research into an alternative called Christian Medical Sharing. And I learned that through a special law, a special provision, Christians are able to opt out of Obamacare and actually get into this alternative to traditional health insurance called Christian Medical Sharing. I decided to go ahead and move into a plan like that, and I'm saving a lot of money. Now, if you'd like to find out more about it, get more of the details to find out if it's for you or not, I've written an article on it. In the article, I give you more details, including I actually mention the organization that I decided to go with. If you'd like to get all of the information on this and find out if it might be for you, check out this website, medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. All right, we are back. My name is Jim Paris. You're listening to Jim Paris Live. Our website is christianmoney.com, and you can follow me over on Twitter. My Twitter name is at James L. Paris. And I did put a link during the break, made sure that we got that link to our guest's Twitter, and her name is Carlene Sinclair Robinson. We linked to her Twitter account, and she's going to be posting some information about SEC guidelines and where we're at with the whole crowdfunding deal, where you as a small business can go on to a website and actually raise capital for your business. And the law has been passed to allow this, but it's not launched yet because all the regulations haven't been worked out. So she's going to be posting some information on that a little bit later. And Carlene's books, let's get the word out on these. The two books, The Small Business Owner's Guide to Alternative Funding, and the second book is Spank the Bank. And both of these books are available at Amazon.com. I saw them on there earlier tonight. And one of the questions that came in during the break, and an email question actually right before the break, is someone wants to know, they've got a friend that has a lot of money tied up in an IRA, like a six-figure amount, and that person would like to use some of that money to help this individual to start a business. Is that possible to make such an arrangement in an IRA without having to withdraw the money and face all the penalties and so forth?
Okay. First, let me clarify. I am not an expert on IRA financing. However, there are options and possibilities of being able to use an IRA. Here is my advice. Seek a professional that deals directly with IRAs and know what they're talking about. Okay, that's licensed to do this. That is my number one advice to anyone wanting to use an IRA. There are ways to use them and ways not to use them. There are some IRAs you cannot touch, and
right,
some that
you're 100%,
can.
You're 100% right about that. It's something to be very careful about. And the other thing, too, is, look, if your IRA is your retirement, you know, I'm not giving out personalized investment advice here, but if that's your retirement, maybe providing seed capital to a business may not be appropriate with that money.
Correct.
If that's money for your – but those are things for you to work out. But the good news is it legally, it can be done. So you could probably Google that, find some companies that work with IRA.
I can actually share two companies right now. American Pension Services is one of them. They can check. And Guided Financial, they can check.
Okay,
those
American
two
Pension Services.
Correct.
Say that again, American Pension Services. And what was the second one?
Guidant Financial.
Guidant Financial. That's G-U-I-D-A-N-T. Guidant Financial.
Yeah, G-U-I-D-A-N-T. Correct.
Okay, G-U-I-D-A-N-T, Guidant, with a T at the end. All right. The next question we have here is someone wants, I mentioned microloan. Somebody wants to know what those are. I'm assuming that means it's a small loan.
Correct.
What is the difference between a micro loan and a regular loan as far as the difficulty or ease in getting the money?
All right. Micro loans are usually easier to get. They are for people who don't fit the banking structure. They are for folks who need a smaller loan, less than $50,000. And usually they are given through organizations like nonprofit organizations or financing sources that aren't so strict on credit scores needing to be above 680. So some microloan lenders will do a 575 credit score, and more than likely be reviewing what's going on with the client overall, everything, and not just base the loan on initially starting out with a credit score of, you know, a higher score. They will take a variety of collateral. They will look at what the plans are. They put the person through a specific type of training, whether, let's say, they need to understand the ABCs of starting a business or marketing or, you know, how to structure your business. And so the SBA, interestingly enough, folks, here's something if you don't know this. The SBA has what we call women's business centers around the country. There is at least one in every state. Some states have three or four. There's also the small business development centers, and those places are sometimes closely tied to universities that, you know, they're helping provide technical training. Some of the microloan providers will not finance you unless you've gone through this type of a training. So that helps to minimize the risk of you failing after you've gotten a loan. So you'll then understand what you need to do, how you need to do certain things, you know, whether you need tax advice or accounting training, a variety of resources. Also, there's SCORE, even though, you know, SCORE does not provide a loan, but being able to get that kind of technical training. So when a micro lender sees that, they have they feel more comfortable in potentially lending to that person if they are willing to go through, you know, what that lender is requiring.
And I know for folks listening, this probably sounds like a lot of information. It's like what I say sometimes, trying to take a sip from a fire hose. But the great thing is, this is all in her book. You know, if you get the book, I'm looking at the table of contents right here, Spank the Bank. I've got the table of contents here. It's all listed, all of this and a lot more. So that's why I would really recommend, if this is something that you're interested in, it would be a good idea, sort of like looking at a menu at a restaurant. You can go through this book and you can see all of the different possibilities for financing. Some of these might make more sense to you than others based on where you're at in life. For example, one of the chapters is about home equity loans. Well, if you don't own a home, you can't get a home equity loan, but maybe you're someone that does own a home that's paid off. Maybe that would be your way to go. Another thing here, peer-to-peer lending. What is that all about, Carlene, peer-to-peer lending?
Okay. Peer-to-peer lending, it's peers lending to peers, people who wants to help someone based on what that person is asking for. So here's some interesting facts. Let's say you want to get married. This is like the craziest ones I've ever seen. You want to get married. You need $15,000, and you go on one of these online sites, and you post your information, and you potentially could have 200 investors invest in that money. You will have to pay it back. It is a loan. There are interest rates appropriate to this, and you pay a fee to process, just like you go to the bank. However, here's the interesting piece to this. In the last, since 2007, two websites alone have raised over $3 billion with loans less than $35,000 here in the United States. Mm. And they are just, I mean, they're filling a gap. Also, people are sick and tired of having credit card debt. So people are paying off high interest credit card debt with using peer-to-peer loans. We have folks who are now investing in this market versus putting their money into stocks. So it's, you know, there's a balancing of the scales here in one way where folks are, where they're putting their money and then who's actually borrowing. You have small business owners, you have students, you have, you know, a variety of folks investing and borrowing at the same time. What it really does is this. It's filling a gap, a missing link where folks need funding. You know, someone's roof might fall in and they don't have the money, or, you know, they can't go to the bank and get a loan. So here's an option. And what is unique is that this did not necessarily start online. People are still doing this offline, where they're coming together in a community and helping each other. And, you know, in places like, I'm sure here in the United States, they call it partner, where offline they're doing it and helping each other. And in other countries around the world, they're doing it. I mean, I could name out some names as to what they call them. But, you know, some unique or creative geniuses figured, let's put something online. And so in 2007, Prosper is one of the websites that's really, you know, putting it out there, putting pedal to the metal, that they're funding and being serious about this. And if folks
we had done an article about Prosper.com, and a lot of people, like you said, are using that to pay off credit cards. But like you point out, you could go there to get some money for a business, to expand your business or start a business.
Correct. Correct. And I've watched, a matter of fact, you know, when I tell people this, I've been watching Prosper since they were at 29 million, and they're over 680 million now. And that was a few years ago. On top of that, they've gone through the SEC process. I could tell it was right. It's available on their website. You could check it. So now, there was a time when folks with, you know, a 520 credit score could get a Prosper loan. Well, of course, again, mitigating risk, there's some folks who are just not going to qualify anymore for a loan. They just have to, you know, work their way through whatever it is they're going through. And sometimes it's not about borrowing. It's about looking at where you're at and taking those actions to fix your problems. So, again, this is an option. Some folks can use it. For some folks, it's not for them.
Are you finding that in this economy, that raising a lot of money to go into business is not as much needed? And let me tell you why I ask you this, because a lot of people now are doing things like an internet business where there's really maybe not a lot of capital involved. So it's not like in the old fashioned bricks and mortar business where you have to, you know, build a building or rent a building and you're hiring employees, because there are so many different ways now of getting involved in a small, even a home-based business that might be mostly on the internet. Are you finding that the capital needs of a business for a lot of people are actually just a lot less than they used to be?
It is, and here's the problem. We have folks who are either starting or in business and think they need a large amount of money. But when you dissect what they're doing or trying to do moving forward, they don't need a lot of money. Take, for instance, I saw a business plan a few weeks ago, and the business owner was looking for $200,000. And if I tell you this, you're going to crack up. They were looking for $200,000 to market their business. And I literally brought them down to
$15,000. Wow. So, that was just for marketing.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing. Folks need to understand they don't necessarily need $100,000 up front right now. If they, let's say they need $30,000 to buy a piece of equipment or a vehicle, and then they might need some working capital on top of that, 15%. And they need some money for marketing or, you know, some additional things, but let's take it in steps, measured steps, stretch it out. Versus trying to do all of it. Again, you talked about drinking from a fire hose instead of the tap. We need to learn to drink from the water fountain first before we try to, you know, go after the large amount. So, yes, we're seeing a mix, and in the part of helping people to understand, look, be real. In today's market, you're not going to get necessarily what you're looking for, and here's why we have to diversify how we seek funding. So instead of thinking of getting a straight bank loan, or, you know, you want to break it up, and maybe you try some equipment financing, and if peer-to-peer is for you, or maybe you go for crowdfunding. It's just now we've got to look outside the box or think like the box no longer exists and identify those opportunities to really help.
And what about seller financing. You know, in this economy, a lot of business owners that are, you know, reaching retirement, they want to sell, but there's not maybe someone out there that has the lump sum of money to buy them out, and they're looking at taking the money anyway and putting it into investments for an income. How common do we see seller financing where someone's selling an established, already going business, and they will let you put down so much money and pay them so much per month as part of an agreement? My friend's son, right out of high school, he bought a pizza shop here in town, and they've owned it now for about 6 months. It's going very well for them, but they bought it on a payment arrangement with the owner. They had to put down a certain amount of money, which they got a home equity loan for that, and then the difference is carried as a seller-financed debt to the buyers.
And that's definitely what needs to happen. A lot of folks who are, you know, selling or they're retiring, they have to consider these options. Some, interestingly enough, some of them don't know that this exists, or that they can do this, and it is so needed because, you know, you have a younger generation that might want to take on their type of a business, and in the long run, it, I believe when you consider options like seller financing, have them give you, you know, a portion up front, you can go on down the road and do your thing. Here's the interesting piece that some of these sellers don't know. When they go ahead and create that note, let's say your son decide, or a friend's son decide to, you know, they're doing the business and they're paying, they're making their payments and everything's going well. And the seller needs a lump sum of cash 2-3 years down the road. Guess what? There are buyers out there for that, where they could buy out 7 years of the payments. And let's say it's a 20-year seller finance note. They could buy out a portion of those notes, and after the payments have been made back to the buyer, guess what? After the 7 years ends, the original seller starts getting paid again because the amount of money that seller, initial seller, got from the lender, they're now able to get that money further on down the road for the next 15 years, 13 years, or whatever is worked out. So there's some really unique ways of how notes are created and how they're sold. And it's the largest thing that's sold around the world. People don't know this. They think going into the stores buying consumer goods is the biggest thing. No. The way notes are created in this world, it's the biggest creation going on and sale in business.
Yeah, and there, you know, there can be a win-win in those kinds of arrangements. You just have to, you know, everybody has to be honest and put their cards on the table, and it could be a win-win. Someone is able to get a certain amount of money up front. They pay the buyer pays the balance on payments over time, and everybody benefits from an arrangement like that. Now, as we close out, I want to make sure that people have information on how to get in touch with you. Again, her two books, Spank the Bank and The Small Business Owner's Guide to Alternative Funding. Both of those books are available at Amazon.com. Also, if you go to my Twitter feed, I've put a link there to Carlene's Twitter feed. Her name is Carlene Sinclair Robinson. And Carlene, do you have a website or any other way that you would like to have people contact you?
Absolutely. SpankTheBankNow.com.
SpankTheBankNow.com. I love your books. Very easy to read, and a lot of good information in here. And we thank you so much for joining us this evening. The time went by entirely too quickly.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. You take
care. You're welcome. God bless. Thank you for being with us. And, you know, it's a topic we don't talk enough about, but there's a lot of people that would like to go into business or maybe expand their business. And these are two fantastic books. I mean, one of the ways I've been getting guests lately for the show is, you know, I'm out there and I'm looking at books, buying books, reading articles from people, and I say, wow, this looks like an interesting person. Let's bring them on the show. Maybe they're not someone that does a lot of radio or TV shows, but we can bring them on this program because they've got something interesting to say. A lot of good information tonight. Again, this will be available on replay. I'll be posting that tomorrow. and you can find me over at Blog Talk Radio. All right, check us out this week on the internet. ChristianMoney.com is the website, and this is Jim Paris, here as always, to help you make the most of God's money. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.